Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We are still awaiting Kawhi Leonard's decision. What I find funny is we can't even get the meetings right. ESPN reported, and I won't say who it was, but reported on Tuesday that the Clippers and Lakers meetings wrapped up and that the Raptors were going to be later on that day. Well, it wasn't the case because Kawhi was in Toronto yesterday meeting with the Raptors officials, and we still don't have an official announcement today of where he's going to play.
I'd like to say that I am tired of it. I'm over it. I'm sick of it. Make a decision already. But the more that I can see people get stuff wrong, the more I get a kick out of it. I'm sorry. This is really funny. I mean, everybody, and everyone's getting dirty here, all right? Everybody's getting dirty. Nobody's wearing a white to the barbecue and not spilling on themselves here. Everybody's getting dirty because I don't care who you are. If you've had a report on Kawhi Leonard, one of your other reports was wrong. I don't care who you are because it's gone back and forth so many times. Nobody knows anything.
I've changed my prediction twice during the saga.
That's all right.
It started off Clippers, and now I am at Raptors. That's where I am. And I felt Raptors because it has gone on for this long. I thought that if he really didn't want to be in Toronto, you kind of know that answer. Then it's easier to choose between two teams, the Lakers or Clippers. Doesn't seem like that is the case. It really seems that Toronto is pulling on his heartstrings and wanting to keep him in that city as opposed to going home to Southern California and playing for a team very close to home.
Look, I talk to enough people and I trust enough people to know this for certain about Kawhi Leonard. This is the certainty that I know. I know 100%, no doubt about it, in backing up all my sources and checking and double checking and, you know, finding two sources to corroborate the story. I know 100% that Kawhi Leonard's not going to the Orioles. That I know.
There it is.
100%.
Mark it down, send it out.
Yeah, if you find somebody who says differently, they're lying to you and they need to be exposed. He will not be a Baltimore Oriole, not this weekend and not any weekend.
You heard it here first. The Orioles, the way that they're playing this year, were very Clipper-like in the Clippers' past. I think we can make that transition. But the Clippers seem to be in a situation where they are unfamiliar with, and we'll get into them a little bit later. But the Clippers kind of are new to this game, but so are the Raptors. Like, this is something, I know the Lakers have different people there, but the Lakers have always been in the mix, whether it be with Paul George, maybe it wasn't realistic, but this is really new to those new teams. And so when I see Toronto and I see the fans standing outside, and I hear people giving warnings to the fans of, hey, you better not do that. You better not support the player.
Shut up.
Then I don't know if you want that player there. It's a good natured. It's well placed. It's not extra pressure. If you've got the fans waiting outside your hotel, let me tell you this: they're not going to be critical of you. This doesn't happen in New York because they don't care about you unless you perform. If Kawhi goes to the Raptors, he will never, ever be criticized for anything that he does wrong, considering that he would return after an NBA title. So to criticize the fans of doing that, I think, is absurd.
Let's not pretend that Kawhi Leonard is the kid off Powder who's been hidden in his grandparents' basement all these years, and he's been, eating jelly beans, PB&J, and then, trying to figure out electricity for the rest of America. Like, let's not pretend like he's been so sheltered, and the second you put him in school, no one's going to know how to behave around him. He's been playing in front of 20,000 people for almost a decade in the NBA. I think he's okay around people. Like, what are we talking about here? Don't show up. Don't let him know that we know where he's at. What do you mean? Like, he's been playing in front of people his entire career.
Yeah, I find it absurd that you're walking on eggshells during his recruitment.
It's insane. Like, what are we talking about? It's insane. Like, the guy's not, like, he's the boy who could fly. All he wants to do is jump off a roof and catch some air. Give me a break, man. He's a professional basketball player. He's a multimillionaire. He's got sponsorship deals. He played at San Diego. He was drafted high. He's already been traded multiple times in his career. Enough.
This whole situation, and I told you guys this before the show, reminds me of what happened to me on Monday. And Monday night after work, my wife and I were trying to figure out, hey, let's go out to eat. Let's go have some dinner. Let's enjoy, you know, a nice meal somewhere. And there were new spots. She even sent me an email like a month ago, like, oh, we should try, you know, like the top, you know, 10 new restaurants you got to try in Southern Cal, whatever the case is.
Now, did you have a central area that you were going to go to? Was there sort of a...
We were open to anything.
Okay.
We were open to anything. But what ended up happening was, it was, all right, we don't want to drive that far. It's already 6:30. We don't want to go way out of, you know, we don't want to drive an hour to a restaurant.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, what's around in the area? And you're like, well, we could go there, but I don't know. We haven't been there before. We ended up going to a place that we always go to,
yeah.
like all the time.
Hey,
and it's just because you know they're gonna have what you like, and you're not gonna leave disappointed. And I think that's what Kawhi Leonard is facing, and I think that's why he goes back to the Raptors, because you don't know what's gonna happen with LA with the Lakers. You don't know what's happening in LA with the Clippers. But you have a pretty good deal of what's going to happen with the Raptors. So you're fine with it. Did we leave, like, not satisfied? Absolutely not. It was a great meal. The bread was great. They had the right soda products for me. It was awesome. We left happy. Now, was it the greatest meal ever? No. But it wasn't the worst meal, and I didn't think that we blew $50.
And there were no unhappy surprises.
Correct.
You didn't show up to a place and it sucked. And, when I was in Honolulu last year, I went to Hawaii with my girlfriend at the time, now fiance, and we went to Honolulu.
Uh-oh.
By the way, breaking
news.
We have a developing
right
situation.
There.
Dan Byers' tweet is on television
there it
right
is.
Now.
There
yeah.
It is.
All right.
Those are my
yes.
flowers I planted.
All
yes.
right.
Yep.
There's the wasp nest.
KTLA 5.
Yep.
KTLA, a putting green. Oh, they just,
wow.
Oh, what a, that backyard sucks. Dan Byers' backyard was so much better. He had a putting green. It looked like Jim Nance at Pebble Beach. By the way, for those of you listening nationally, the local news station asked Dan Byers if they could use his tweet showing the movement in the pool after the earthquake, and it just came on one of our TVs.
Yes, it did. Wow. Sorry to interrupt
hey.
That Kawhi talk.
Look.
But we've been waiting for
hey.
This one. I had never, if we could transition to earthquake talk or whatever, but the point is I've been getting some flack on the, I had never known what happens in a pool during an earthquake.
Hey.
I had never been by one, and all of a sudden, it's basically like a toilet, you know, flushing. That's kind of what it seemed like.
By the way, what if that earthquake that happened in Southern California earlier is the reason that Kawhi Leonard stays in Canada? He's like, you know what? I'll take my chances with the abominable snowman. I don't want to deal with an earthquake, so kiss my ass. And he just goes back to Canada. Like, what if that was, if that really what tilted him over the top?
I think Masai Ujiri ordered this earthquake.
Yeah,
yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, set it up and said, we'll just do it. We'll do it far away, but they'll be able to feel it in L.A. There is this, that's a... It's a really good thought. That would be...
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, there's something to it. Conspiracy theory, the Toronto Raptors planted this earthquake. Run with that. You want hot takes on a holiday weekend when nothing else is breaking? Run with that. So to your point, though, when you're talking about the Kawhi Leonard stuff and you say you just kind of go back to what's comfortable because you're used to it, I want to be different from that, and I always want to say, man, when I go to someplace new, I want to try new things. And for the most part, that's the case. But I found myself in Hawaii, never been before... In Honolulu, thinking, all right, I'm going to try this like Hawaiian coffee, and I know there's Kona roast and all this stuff. And you know what I did almost every single day? Walked downstairs, looked around, and said, yeah, there's a Starbucks right
yeah.
there.
yeah.
I know what I'm going to get.
Yes,
and I know
absolutely.
They're going to have what I want, and I know exactly what I'm getting, and there's no surprises, no unhappy surprises. So to your point, I get the idea of why he would just look around and go, yeah, I'll just go back to Toronto. I'm used
yeah,
to it.
I cannot veer from the menu. When you find something that is, maybe it's not a home run, but it is a solid
yeah.
double every single time you have it, it is difficult to veer, like very difficult. And that's where I think Kawhi is. I love the Buffalo chicken tenders. I know they have ribs,
yeah,
but I could get ribs and they could come out very tough. They could come out... maybe not well seasoned mm-hmm. and just, you know, lathered in sauce. But I know these Buffalo chicken tenders are going to be delicious. And I would rather bet on the Buffalo chicken tenders every single time than to veer from the menu. And that's where I think Kawhi sits.
Look, Dan and I have a common bond. Whenever we go on work trips or work outings, there are two things that need to be done. One, We need to stock up water in the room because I'm not paying $11 for a little Fiji water that you could fit in a shot glass. And two, where's the best place for boneless wings? And I'll say this. You go to Buffalo Wild Wings, Dan? Have you gotten anything other than the two flavors you normally get in the last three years?
Let me try the garlic parm. It's straight honey barbecue and medium sauce. That's what it is.
I get mango habanero and the honey barbecue because of Dan's recommendation. Sometimes, just to show off, I'll get the hottest stuff, and then I'll tell everybody, oh my God, there's a fight outside, so they don't see me crying because I ate the hottest sauce. But yeah, you just go with what you're used to, and I just feel like the longer this drags on, do you think he's just sitting around going, look, if I'm this torn and nobody's really pulling me out of there and I go all the way back for a meeting afterwards, maybe that's a sign that I ought to just go back.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I know that there are things that you need to be penalized for in the NFL.
Yeah.
And this incident with a security guard is a really, really bad look for the National Football League, or for Ezekiel Elliott and the National Football League, if you want to make the image of your players are going around everywhere. And, you know, Doug used the term big boy a lot. I mean, the guy was leaning against a fence that, you know, a railing that was knocked down.
Yeah.
And then you push him to it and he loses his balance and falls over. I don't know what you could do suspension wise, but to just be like, all right, you need more training is absurd to me. Like, I don't know. I would have thought if you're going to put yourself in this situation, to everything that you said, to at least get one game. I mean, at least get one game or something, considering your past transgressions. I don't understand how the NFL could just look past
it. Well, and look, it's probably reckless to go on the air and say, hey, that guy was hammered. I can assure you, Ezekiel Elliott was bombed out of his mind, and I will take that to any lie detector. Put me up on trial and ask me, do you believe that Ezekiel Elliott was bombed? Yes. What is your proof? Well, I didn't see a breathalyzer. I was not there with him. But when I see a guy shoveling food in his mouth and he looks like David Hasselhoff eating the burger off the ground years ago in that video, then that is a telltale sign that he's been bending the elbow. And then the way he was walking around, kind of standing in front of the woman, not letting her pass by, and then the altercation. Yeah, you figured something would be done. The fact the NFL didn't do anything, I guess, a little bit surprising.
I like, if you're on probation, and let's be honest, like, I know you served a suspension, but you serve your sentence. Maybe you're put on probation. Don't do anything stupid in the next 3 years, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
This was stupid.
Yes.
Like, this was,
yes.
So, like, you know, you serve your ban that you did, almost now, a year and a half ago. There still should be a cloud of it. If this was random, and I'm not going to name any names, but if this was just a random player who did this, maybe you look past it instead of trying to teach them a lesson that you could never do this. This is happening during your probation area. And to not realize that you are still under the microscope is a really, really big issue. And I mean, I say the NFL, you don't penalize someone where it's a first timer. You would have every right to do so if this happens to Ezekiel Elliott. And
yeah,
they didn't.
And I just wonder what the Dallas Cowboys are going to do, because I know Jerry Jones is a loyal guy. He wasn't too concerned afterwards. But here is where I think the conversation gets interesting, because there's this whole thought that the Cowboys have got to pay. They can't pay all three of these guys, meaning Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and Amari Cooper. You can't pay all three. So who do you pay? Two of three? One of three? Who's priority? And so there's, you know, different people chiming in. And a lot of people, I guess, as far as best at their position of all three guys, Ezekiel Elliott would be best at his position compared to all three guys, correct?
Yeah.
And so you think, oh, okay, well, it's easy. You just pay Zeke. Yeah, but every single offseason there's an incident.
Sure.
So you can understand why they would be hesitant to want to pay him.
And you're at a position that is declining in value each year that you play.
Yeah.
And you have a strength of your team, of the offensive line, that isn't as great as it was in his rookie season or really in their heyday. You still have Zach Martin, but the pieces, and hopefully Travis Frederick comes back healthy, but the dominant offensive line that you had with the Cowboys 4 or 5 years ago, that isn't going to be there. Now you're paying DeMarcus Lawrence as well. You've got pieces on defense. Yeah, to your point, like each note makes Ezekiel Elliott's importance go a ring lower and lower and lower with the future of the Cowboys.
And you can also make the case for Dak Prescott. If somebody were to say to you, hey, listen, I ranked my 32 quarterbacks in the NFL. I got Dak Prescott in between 15 to 23. Could you call them insane, or could you understand why they would feel that way?
Yeah,
I could totally understand why. Okay, well, I don't know if I want to pay a quarterback who might be 23rd or bottom 10th in the league $30-something million a year. You could also make the case for Amari Cooper. Where does Amari Cooper rank on your receivers list in the NFL? For God's sakes, he was like 65th in catches last year. Like, so the idea that you're going to pay... I guess my point being, you can find an argument as to why not to pay each of these guys. Everyone's thinking about, oh, well, who are they going to pay? I can find an argument as to why you wouldn't pay any of these guys. I think they're going to pay somebody, but I wouldn't call the Cowboys crazy if they decided not to.
I wonder if they're going to be Houston Rockets into some of this, where you think that your window is open and you have to do it now. Like, we always thought that the Cowboys' window was really on Zeke's rookie contract, but if they get close this year, which people think that they possibly could, considering they made it to the divisional playoff round last year, you're all of a sudden then wondering, okay, the next offseason, are you thinking, well, if we just have Zeke one more year, maybe Super Bowl 55 will be ours, so let's just give him the contract and we'll worry about the consequences later. The good thing, at least in the NFL, if you did that, is there's, depending on how much money you give him up front, you wouldn't be on the hook like the Rockets are with Chris Paul, but that could be the situation the Cowboys are in.
And you're already pot committed to Amari Cooper because you traded a first-round pick. You spent a top-five pick on Zeke, and remember, this is an organization who, we were on the air when it happened. Remember when they said no to DeMarco Murray? That was pretty controversial. And they said, no, we trust our offensive line more than we trust the running back. So I just think it's a much deeper conversation than people realize.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Kawhi Leonard needs to pick a new team. Now, the flip side of that is basically who needs Kawhi Leonard, as it's down to the Clippers, Lakers, and Raptors for his services.
Yeah, I was thinking, all right, who needs him the most? Rick Kamla joined us earlier here on Fox Sports Radio, and he says the Lakers need him the most. I disagree, okay? I look at the Lakers and I go, the Lakers have got Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Look, you added Anthony Davis this offseason. I would consider that a win. That's a good get for the Lakers. Anthony Davis and LeBron James. They've also got a historic franchise. Even as bad as they are, they're still in the conversation for big-time free agents every single offseason. So to me, the Lakers are always going to have an advantage and a built-in edge. I think the Raptors are coming off a championship. They can do no wrong. They've got like a 4 or 5 year grace period where they can tank for the next half decade. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be fine. I think the answer is the LA Clippers. The Clippers have seemingly done it all the right way, have gotten the right roster together, the right coach, the right owner. He's enthusiastic, turned around a sinking ship. We're in the playoffs, battled really, really hard, a team everybody was rooting for against the Warriors just because they were the underdog role, and still they're probably going to strike out on the biggest free agents. Like, I think the Clippers have to get this done. I think they need Kawhi more than the rest.
But how much of this, and I call it the new Clippers, because Clippers was a four-letter word in the NBA for so many years because of Donald Sterling. I think the new Clippers of this new organization, now moving on from the Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan era, now instead of just having that big three, you've got everything that you mentioned of at least an owner and a head coach. I think their future is brighter than what Toronto's would be without Kawhi. For the simple fact of, I don't know if there's another player in the NBA that says, all right, I'm going to go and do what Kawhi did in Toronto. Whereas maybe if you were in LA, you're like, okay, well, we've got the future. I think, and I get what you're saying, and I thought the same thing too of like trying to keep pace and keeping that momentum. The more and more I think about it and the way that the East is still, I don't know, I guess kind of still up for grabs, you could continue that. I think that Toronto falls off so much if they don't get him.
I agree, and I think Toronto's probably a bottom half Eastern Conference playoff team if they don't have Kawhi Leonard. I still think they have some talent there, but without him, I think it's a much different ball club. But I just, because the residue is still there, of them winning a championship, I just feel like there's going to be zero pressure on anybody involved. And you have this grace period. Jeff Fisher went to one Super Bowl. He just went to a Super Bowl.
Sure.
And that guy was in the NFL for years afterwards because of that one Super Bowl appearance that he had.
I try to compare of two team cities in sports. Like, I think that the Giants are the long, you know, they're the storied franchise in New York.
Agreed.
But the Jets do enough to take the headlines, whether it be with Rex Ryan.
Oh, agreed. 100%.
So there's it's a little bit more even. Go to Chicago, still quite a Cubs town. You know, there's White Sox fans, but it's a Cubs town. But still the gap in L.A. is, I think, the widest of any for the simple fact of how big the Lakers brand has been and how great they have been for their franchise to how bad the Clippers have been. And so that gap to me is so unique on, and maybe that's why I don't think that the Clippers need it, because I actually feel it's progress because they've been so low where I'm like, well, at least they're not what they were before. Like, that gap in LA is just, it's so tough to close, and it'll never be closed because it never really is in any sports cities. But you've got an opportunity to get better, and maybe that's why I'm looking at the Clippers and saying, well, they've been so low that at least they're higher and it's better off for them.
And the gap that you're talking about, here's what's unique about the gap between the Clippers and the Lakers in L.A. So you mentioned the Cubs and the White Sox. Look, the White Sox are trash. They've been bad for a long time, real bad for a long time, and have been run poorly for quite some time. If you were to go to the Giants and the Jets, pretty bad team. The Giants have got at least somewhat recent Super Bowl success and a playoff appearance. The Jets haven't been able to figure it out. The Clippers have been better than the Lakers for several years now.
Mm-hmm.
And still, it doesn't matter. Still, it's a Laker town, and the Clippers are trying to catch up, which is why they've got to land on something. And I know we're going to have Ketino Mobley on next hour, and he's a former Clipper. I got to know, because you mentioned Donald Sterling's not there anymore. What's wrong with the Clippers? Like, I don't understand. Like, what can they do that is going to get them that superstar that's going to... Because the first guy to make the jump that actually helps them win a championship... Could you imagine if Kawhi Leonard... Nobody thinks that he's better than LeBron James or that he's one of these all-time great players. But when you can bring a different argument to the discussion, and if Kawhi could bring an argument of, hey, I won in San Antonio, and then I brought Toronto their first championship. Oh, and then I went to the Clippers, the second tier team in town, and I brought them their first championship. He's in another league. Like, it's a different stratosphere amongst how we talk about him compared to before. I just feel bad for the Clippers. It feels like they're going to lose out again.
Yeah, to your point, Kawhi winning a championship with the Clippers to me would feel like when the Rams went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Where, like, they'd be on par. Like, it wasn't the Dodgers winning the World Series or the Lakers winning a title. You know, the Rams, and no offense, Johnny, not to take a shot at your team, but the point is there wasn't as much buzz as you thought maybe it would be. And I'm wondering if that's popping in Kawhi's head of being like, okay, well, we see if I'm going to play in LA, I might as well play for the Lakers. Like, if that's where you're going, just be for the simple fact of if Kawhi would lead the Clippers to a title, it would probably help his individual stature of where we rank him amongst the all-time greats. I mean, considering if he were to bring a title to the Clippers almost single-handedly, that would be amazing. But it just wouldn't resonate for the team-wise or the league-wise if he did it in that uniform. It would be different if it was in a Lakers uniform. Or if you end up going back-to-back with the Raptors, I guess you could make a case. It'd maybe be like the Pistons winning, you know, 30-some years ago.
Here's where the conversation also, I think, is funny. So if Kawhi Leonard, if his idea is, I'm going to look at these two teams, if he goes to the Lakers, they're a better team than the Clippers. No doubt about it. Anthony Davis, Kawhi, LeBron James. If he goes to the Clippers, who's a better team, the Lakers or the Clippers? I would say the Clippers.
Yeah.
I would say the Clippers. So
I hesitated, but yeah.
What is the Laker bench? I mean, now we're hearing, well, if they don't land Kawhi, they're going to sign Rajon Rondo, and I'm hearing like Marcus Morris and all these. And Marcus Morris had a really good year, and I know Boston loved him, but...
Yeah, I look at it like this, and probably to answer your question, I should have answered it this way. I think that the Clippers supporting cast is better than what he had in Toronto.
I would agree with that.
You know, like, considering the pieces that you have, I mean, you'd have Lou Williams, a real legit second score. Fred, for as great as Fred VanVleet was in the playoffs or in the final two rounds, they didn't necessarily need him.
He was Nick Foles. He was Nick Foles.
Yeah, Norman Powell coming in. There was a lot of Danny Green was awful. There wasn't much there. He carried them when you consider what you would have with Shamet, with Gilgeous Alexander, with Lou Williams and the pieces, Montrezl Harrell. I think that their supporting cast with Kawhi would be better than what they had in Toronto.
Yeah,
which then tells me that Toronto really needs Kawhi. So I'll sum up my argument by saying that of the supporting cast is actually better in L.A. than it is in Toronto, and that's why the Raptors need him.
Because if he chooses the Lakers, doesn't it just feel like a typical move? Like a typical, well, I guess everybody wants a super team. Nobody's willing to go out and get it.
He's
been the super team slayer. He's done it twice.
You know, and this is my other thing with the decision is the NBA has never, ever been built on parity. Never. It has been built on the super team. And in maybe the year or two where you would have like an unknown, NBA type. Like
Pistons in 04.
Yeah. Like that would be maybe the outlier. But when you consider like where the NBA has been built, it has always been, parity has never been the case. I want to see how parity works with this NBA. I want to see with the amount of superstars that we now have in this player-driven league, would parity thrive the way that the NFL has thrived in that matter of everybody believing that they have a chance, or at least maybe half of the league or a third of the league believing they have a chance. If Kawhi goes to the Lakers, we're back to the same old NBA where we just hate one team and really don't care about the rest.
So then let me ask you this. If parity is what you want and you just want to see what it's like, just to get an idea of how would this work in the NBA, which place would he go that would create parity?
I think
Toronto or the Clippers?
Yeah. I think it would the Clippers because they would be more of a title threat.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. And that being said, he'll probably choose to go to the Knicks. That would be
the great plot
it's not
twist
accurate.
That we've seen.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
He's Jonas Knox. That's John Ramos. I'm Dan Byer sitting in for Doug today on this 4th of July. A crazy day here in Southern California with the earthquake that occurred earlier about 2 hours ago or so.
Now, I know that a local Channel 5 station reached out to say, hey, can we use your video of your backyard moving around a little bit during the quake? Did they tell you they were going to use it 75 times?
I better get a royalty check.
No
Plus,
kidding.
Getting a lot of flack on Twitter of a couple of things. First of all, of being like, oh, wow, it's just waves. Like,
fire.
I was surprised to see it. I feel really bad that two video clips later is a house burning. See, there it is again. See,
fire.
It's up again. I just didn't realize that the water would be moving as Don't much fall, as yeah. it would. I have never seen that. It's yeah. and by the way, you can't see the chlorine ring that is on every single tile of my pool. Thank goodness.
Or the neighbors that usually smoke weed.
By the way, if you guys will notice on my back bushes, I have two bushes that are covered
yes.
because the sun dries them out.
Right.
The ones on the right were covered earlier this week, so they're a little bit more greener than the ones on the left who will be covered in the next coming week.
That just goes to show you that Twitter is all about people being angry and it's misdirected anger.
Because right.
all you did was show a video of some waves moving and people had
right.
to criticize it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What are you pissed off about? They didn't have any Piccolo Pete's at the fireworks store?
I will tell you another thing. People are saying, oh, well, it must be nice, must be nice to be rich. A pool adds absolutely zero value to your home.
Yeah.
In fact, when you're trying to sell it, it's more of a detriment because there's some people who don't want it. And you don't have as many people who want to buy it. So
yeah.
there you go, idiots.
Yeah, and by the way, I got your pool right here.
That's
yeah.
what rich yeah. people say, Dan.
Yeah. yeah. That's let's see what Ralph Erman has to say as we play a game.
This is Game Time.
It's Game Time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Hello, Ralph.
Aloha.
What game do we have today?
Come on, Ralph.
Today we have...
Guess Who.
All right.
So we will start with this one. I am an NBA champion who, well, I was recently traded, but I'm not going to be released.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
I'm going to say, guess who? That would be, I'm going to guess Andre Iguodala, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Damn. Draymond Green. Guess who? Man, they are going nuts. This video is...
This is crazy. Now you're on the big screen. Get that one. Come on, get a picture of that. That's a big screen.
It's now, like you full know, screen now.
You're not having to share the screen with some guy who says, here's what the quake meant. The quake meant that the plates moved, and we don't need your help anymore, sir.
The only thing is missing is me plugging my nose as I go underwater.
It's like being at home.
Yes.
The Grizzlies want to trade Andre Iguodala because they think they can get something of value for him. Right now, Houston and Dallas reportedly are interested. But, of course, somebody could trade for him and then still release him. And then he could end up at the Lakers, which has long been discussed as Rob Pelinka is his former agent.
Interesting. Now, just to sweeten the pot, which famous dead person is Rob Pelinka going to set up a meeting with? Just curious. No. What are we doing?
That would be Alexander Hamilton.
I was going to say that. I had money on Abe Lincoln, but I could see Wyatt Earp potentially.
I remember just a really quick story.
Yeah, sure you do. Unbelievable. Yeah, that's insane. That is insane. That is pathological lying at its best. I set up a meeting with a guy who had been dead for 6 months. Well, what are we talking about? Sorry.
They're going to go fishing with Frank.
Oh,
come on. Jeez. We have to dump that.
Oh, just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh.
Okay.
Where'd Ralph go?
Today at Wimbledon, a big matchup between Rafael Nadal and Nick Kyrgios. And, well, it was interesting because Kyrgios was seen last night at the Dog and Fox pub in Wimbledon, just down in beers, in advance of his match tonight against Rafael Nadal.
All right, so we have to guess what beer he drank.
Yeah, no, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I screwed that one up.
Yes.
I'm going to go with that. Listen.
So guess who screwed up number two?
Ralph Irvin.
I'm going to go with the Boddingtons. I'll say a Boddingtons.
Okay, on to number three.
Ralph gave us a guess who once that was like, guess who is a backup guard for the Raiders? Remember that day?
Oh, man.
All right, we got time for one more, Ralph.
Okay, well, I just won my sixth Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Championship.
Oh, this is easy.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, of course it is. Hacksaw Jim Duggan. What do we, I mean, patriotic, right, Ralph, or no?
No. Joey Chestnut.
No. Yeah.
By the way, I can't
That would
stand...
be wrong as well.
No.
Oh, geez.
No, that would be Mickey Sudo, won the women's competition. Joey Chestnut won his 12th title.
Well, it would also be, you know, it's just he has six other ones as
well. I can't stand Joey Chestnut. He's a flake. I flaked on an interview.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Joey Chestnut.
I can't say. He flaked out, like, getting big time by some guy who shoves food in his mouth for a living. That is the lowest point of my career.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Oh, my God.
Now.
Does it get any better than this? I think not.
It's the John Ramos Show.
Ramos!
It's the John Ramos Show.
Hi, this is John
Ramos Show.
This is the John Ramos Sports on Fox Radio.
Huh?
Here's John Ramos.
He says exactly what Suzanne tells him to say.
Ramos!
Shut up, John.
Ramos!
Yeah!
All right.
Yeah!
All right, let's get it on. Let's do this thing. Hey, good evening, everybody. We have a great show for you tonight. It's our Independence Day Spectacular. Happy birthday, America. Make sure to always use the hashtag TheJohnRamosShow. Oh, it's also Therapy Thursday. What are you talking to your shrink about? The low pay you get? The high cost of living? Maybe you're a New York Knicks fan. I want to hear from you. Please let all of this out in the safe place here at Fox Sports Radio, and I'll read your tweets on the air later on. Also, it's National Freeway Sign Day, guys. Dan and Jonas, what's your favorite sign out there?
Oh, it's fun.
Mine is Curve Ahead. Well, Ryan Music is out today, so my good friend Gavin is here with me sitting in. And Gavin, let's get things started.
Let's go.
Well, Gavin, this whole Kawhi thing is out of control. I mean, I just want to know, what is he going to do?
Yeah, me too.
Wait a minute. I'm getting a text. Let me read this. Kawhi has signed.
He has? Where? Where? Tell us, John.
Oh, that's Kawhi Jones, my contractor. He just signed to do our kitchen. Finally. Man, that took a while. I mean, we did want new cabinets.
Kawhi Jones.
Should the NBA go to penalty kicks to decide the winner? We'll talk about it next on the John Ramos Show.
Super balloon. It's about 10 feet
By the way, do you know who Nancy Kerrigan's favorite NBA player is?
I don't know. Who's that?
Kawhi!
iHeartRadio, music you should know.
All
right.
Oh!
Coors Light! It's Kid Rock!
Yeah, come on my boat, man.
He's an American. He's as American as it gets. Don't forget, he'll join me later on up on stage for an in-depth interview about his life, career, etc. Plus, later on in the show, I will give some of my power rankings of the top 15 teams Kawhi might choose. Hey, Timberwolves, stay strong.
Timberwolves?
Hey, a birthday shout out to Oscar, the first king of Sweden. 220 years old today.
Such a grouch.
Celebrate, my friend. Also, we have a John Ramos Show exclusive. This is something you won't hear on any other show in the country, radio, TV, or any website anywhere. Is Kevin Durant's legacy in jeopardy? My answer might surprise all of you, but right now we are celebrating the 4th, and no one better than my friend Kevin. Let's give him a call and see what's up. Kevin has not called in yet? Okay. Like, let's just hold on. I know he's got a barbecue going on.
I mean, John, I think a lot of people have barbecues. I don't really think that makes Kevin unique in this
situation. Kevin, are you there?
Yeah, John. Why are you calling me?
Well, it's 4th of July, and we just want you to, you know, extend to everybody out here. You know, what's going on at your house for 4th of July?
I'm grilling. I've got burgers and brats and hot dogs. I'll get the beer. Don't worry about it.
Come on. I know you got people over, but come on. Come on.
I've got my hands full.
Come on, you can do it. Come on.
Voila!
You need to ask the same question to baseball players on the field after a home run every single time. That's next on the John Ramos Show.
It's balloon magic. I'm going to the movie with Gavin. I'm out of here. I cannot sit through this. I can't do this. The only thing that's going to keep me on this show is more Kid Rock. And if I don't get more Kid Rock, I'm going to lose it. Yeah!
That's right, America. It's Kid Rock. One badass American.
Yeah. Pass the chewing tobacco.
Don't worry. He lets all those secrets later on in the show during our in-depth interview. Plus, coming up later, I have some personal news to share on my future work in this business. I know lots of you don't really care, but I'm going to share with you anyway. Also, don't worry. I will pay off that bet I lost when I get paid next week. So stop texting me. Now, let's take a look at some of the big sports stories of the day with Dan and Jonas. Dan, what do you got for me?
Hey, John, Women's World Cup final is set. United States taking on the Netherlands coming up on Sunday.
Dan, pump the brakes.
What did he say? All he did was it. Okay. Joey Chestnut's done it again, John. He won the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Congratulations to Joey Chestnut.
Jonas, just slow your roll.
I didn't say anything. He's asking for headlines.
Did you guys see the brackets out, Johnny, for the Home Run Derby? Christian Yelich takes on Vlad Guerrero Jr. in one of the first bouts at Home Run Derby.
Dan, hold your horses.
Will do.
Okay. I don't know if you happen to see this, John, but Ezekiel Elliott, the NFL will not punish him, so no suspension.
Jonas, cool your jets.
He's a cowboy.
Well, that's all the time we have for tonight's show. Thanks to Mr. America, Kid Rock, for being our special guest. Sorry we couldn't get to him tonight, but we'll have to reschedule for him later on. By the way, happy birthday, America. And Gavin, I'll catch you if you want me to.
All right. See you at the movie theater.
That is smooth. Oh, man. That's how it's done. How about Kevin? Him and Kevin, just a smooth transition.
How about Kevin being so busy, he couldn't even get a hold of him because he's at the barbecue. Jeez.
That's a tough place to get a hold of you. I know, Kevin, if you're out there, I love you, man.
By the way, if you have any more ideas for the John Ramos show, you can send them over to @JSRamos06, but make sure you include the hashtag.
The John Ramos Show.
All right.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.